Okay, thank you very much. However, that's the exact same piece you played for the introduction to our first class, and that's exactly the same thing that you played 2006. I only know two songs. Oh, Wes Tuttle's out of town, out of state. He's in California visiting his mom, so we need to be in prayer for a safe return. And he left us this disc, but it's the same one he played this morning, and it's the same one he played in 2006. So, the only reason I know that's what's on the book. All right. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And the purpose of this prayer is to orient ourselves to the study of the Word of God and in Romans chapter 5. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How grateful we are for the opportunities that you give to us. Father, we are so thankful for the freedom we enjoy in this country to come and study your Word, worship with one another. And Father, we just pray now that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, Brian, let's see if we can work this singing out with his playing by disc.
So we'll do the first, third, and fourth.
Okay. See, James Webb really knows how to play the piano, but he just didn't feel like he was good enough. Patty's good enough, but she's not good enough. Eve's good enough, but she's not good enough. So we're just going to have to rely on the old disc.
Be careful or I will play.
Like a river, attendeth my way.
Well, it turned out very well. I hope it is well with your soul, because if we decide to sing again, that's the song we'll sing again. that's the one we have our disc ready for. All right. Let's see, we have several things we want to take care of this morning, and one of those, we want to take up two special offerings. So let's go ahead and take care of our prayer, and then move into talking about our two offerings that we want to do this morning. And so first of all, in regard to prayer, Thomas, how you doing, sir? Good. What's the status? Terry, what's the status? When will we get him back?
We go back Friday for a monthly infusion.
Okay.
And hopefully
we'll get it then. And Lundock
said he's doing a little improvement, but honestly, Thomas
doesn't feel any
problems with his lung. But because of the knees, he's really not being real happy.
Okay. How are the knees doing?
Yeah, you don't have to
answer. Thomas, how are your knees doing? Okay. Thomas, maybe just, you know, some people complain. It hurts. Let people know I hurt. Okay. And what would be basically our prayer this week, Terry?
Well, his knees, because they did lower the steroids, we're down to 5. So on Friday, they may reduce them to 2.5. And he may stay on 2.5.
Okay. Is it a practical prayer in regard to lowering the steroids to zero? Is that something that could happen?
Oh, yeah. Their goal is to get them off.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So that'll be part of our prayer. And the lung. Okay. Right. Is it difficult for him to walk very far? Good. I was wondering how you're going to do. When does he leave for New York?
22nd.
Okay, so we got a little time. All right.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Well, Thomas, we'll be in prayer for your knees, your legs, your health, absolutely. And just give thanks every Sunday I see him. And, okay, Leslie, how's Tish?
She's doing pretty good. She's just not quite up to par, but she thinks she figured out what the problem is. So
okay.
Okay.
Well, let's continue to be in prayer for Tish and what's going on with her heart. That's the center of everything, so please be in prayer for Tish. And let's see, what other prayers do we have? Yes.
Jessica. The youth group, the Fisher family, and with all that, meaning how we can all be a part of that.
And what's Jessica's mother's name?
Jennifer.
Okay. Need to be in prayer for Jessica, Jennifer, the family, and for y'all, your outreach. And
we have a young son named Garen who's in Ryan's age, and then, of course, Jessica's in the family.
Okay. So be in prayer for Mackenzie as she interacts with them. Absolutely. All right. Probably, it's probably not the place to ask, but do we know if he was a believer or not?
We do not.
No, okay.
Okay.
No. No. So that's good. All right. Well, then wouldn't it be to be in prayer for Jennifer and Jessica and family? Good. Any other prayer? Yes.
I'd like to put my daughter.
Your daughter?
Yes, she's expecting.
She's pregnant? She's not a young whippersnapper. Oh, my goodness. All right. We definitely will be in prayer for her whole duration of the pregnancy. Very good. All right. Wow. I saw a hand. Yes? Oh, yeah, she broke her hip. Yeah. She's
93.
Yeah. Yep. So we need to be in prayer for Gary Rittenberry's mother. Wonderful lady. I've met her a couple of times. Did I see another hand back? Yes.
My sister-in-law, she's in the hospital with some kind of intestinal problem. This is the lady that over time has had problems with
oh, my goodness. Wow. What's her first name?
Joanna.
Let's be in prayer for Joanna. And please be in prayer for Judith's mother, Christine. And as I said, she has good days, bad days. But it's getting close to when they're going to have to make some decisions and about where she'll be. And also, please guide the people that have to make the decisions and open up the places that would be the place that would be the best place for Christine. Any other prayer request? Okay. We got a couple of things going on, so we want to take up two offerings. The first offering will be for the youth camp and all, and then the second will be our general offering. But let's talk about what's going on with the youth. And so, Chris, I'm going to turn it over to you, let you say what you want to say to us.
Otherwise, you'd hear me. Okay, before I start, it's amazing. You hear all the prayers, and there's so many things that are going on that people are struggling, and the kids are going through some very tough times. And kids, I mean, high schoolers, by their very nature of being high schoolers, go through tough times like every minute of every day. It's crazy. I don't remember it being that tough back in the day, but it's just crazy. And we teach the kids, we spend a lot of time teaching these young people that God has it under control, that the joy comes from Him regardless of the circumstances. And I know that that's a... We don't spend a lot of time talking about sin or talking about, you know, why did God do this to you? What did you do? You know, the question is all of Job's friends had, which is, hey, what did you do to tick God off? You know, why is He hammering you so bad? We spend a lot of time making sure that they understand that God has the perfect plan and that through Him we have freedom, and through Him we have the liberty, and that's what Liberty Youth Camp is all about. And it says in John 8:36, therefore if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And that's what the basis of Liberty Youth Camp is all about. It also says in Galatians 5:1, talking about the freedom. And so we have the opportunity, we have 100 kids coming up to camp, 97, 98, it shifts back and forth on a daily basis. We have somewhere around 97 to 100 campers that are going to be coming up. 43 staff are coming. And it's an amazing ministry that God has blessed us and honored a lot of us in here to be a part of. And not just up at camp, but also the weekly assembly that we have with these young people. Trey teaching a lot over at Larry and Brian's, and them opening their home, and Lori and Leslie and myself getting the opportunity to teach these kids throughout the each week and throughout the year. So it's been fantastic. We have Phil coming up to teach. Phil's going to be one of our main teachers up at camp, and Grady's coming in town. He's going to be one of the main teachers up at camp. we put out before you guys last year, at the end of after camp last year, what the budget was going to look like for the year. And so far we have done extremely well. We are about $1,200 behind where we need to be financially for camp. We have the money, but the amount that we've taken in would allow us to do a couple of things and put us right on the budget that we had asked for to be able to do a couple of extra things that we wanted to do for the campers. But the first thing I'm going to ask for is from the assembly as a whole and all the folks on the internet, pray for these kids and for the staff. The number one thing, regardless of the money, God has provided everything we need to make this camp phenomenal. And we just ask for your prayers for every single one of these kids. And if I can, I guess we could send out the list of names if you want them by name, but there's 100 of them. And our prayer list is pretty long now, so I'm not sure we'll send that out. But if you want them, just send me an email or send Leslie an email, and I'll get you the names of every kid that's going to be coming to camp, every staff member that's going to be coming to camp. They're coming from all over the place. So the prayers is my biggest request. Dry goods, we have some dry goods donations. Larry or Leslie, well, one of you guys want to mention how that's working?
The list was got back and back. Leslie created little pull tabs for everybody. If you could take a look at that today, we are asking them to be back by next Sunday. So what you can take, do sign your name so that we know who's taken that tab. There's a pen back there as well.
And it was pretty neat because we sent out a list to all the parents, all the campers that are going, and we had an amazing response to the dry goods request, and they donated a whole bunch of stuff, which was awesome. The next thing we need to mention is Leslie or Lori, you guys want to talk about the bracelet? So we're going to do some things to send with our missionaries and to our missionaries, and Leslie's going to talk about that.
Herman, we're asking you to pray.
No. You defer.
Herman, your job is praying. Judith, you can participate in the beads, because otherwise we'll have all kinds of craziness going on. So we have crafts projects, we've got prayer, we're looking for money. I tell you what, this is one demanding camp, isn't it? But to give back, so what I would like to do is would like to invite everybody in the assembly and anybody you would like to bring, friends, family. We are going to have on the Thursday of the last day of camp, full day of camp, we have what's called Liberty's Got Talent. Last year we called it God Rock. This year we're calling it Liberty's Got Talent. It's a talent show. It's an opportunity for the cabins and some of the kids and to show off some of the things that they've done, to show off their talent. And everybody is invited. It is up at Texoma Youth Camp. Texoma Youth Camp is about an hour due north of, hour and 15 minutes due north of here, Preston Road. So if you want to come, it's straight up Preston Road until you get to the water and backtrack 2 miles. All right? But it's from 8 to 9:30. It is a Thursday night. I recognize that that's kind of late for some folks. We are inviting the parents to come up as well of all the campers. One of the things that that we have seen with our campers is that when they learn and get a hold of the gospel, they are the ones that have a very strong tendency to go out and talk to their family members. They correct moms and dads on the gospel. They go and introduce the gospel to their family, and to and hopefully we'll continue to see that this year. It's about sharing the gospel and teaching them how to go out into the world and tell everybody about Jesus Christ and what he's done. But we're going to present the gospel for all the parents that do come to make sure they're straight on the gospel. And we would love to have you attend if you'd like to. We'll have some availability for some snacks and some drinks, and they have a great time up there, and you get to see the talent that these kids have. So, and which is a lot. They have a lot of, okay, some of it's questionable talent. Others is phenomenal talent. But either way, it's a lot of fun, and we have a great time up there at camp. The only other thing, okay, the last thing I want to mention, we went up to camp yesterday, and if we saw a lot of pictures last year of Herman flying off of the blob. Well, we were shocked when we got up there yesterday. The blob was gone. And the kids have, I mean, they've been talking about the blob. And, in fact, all the feedback last year is, whatever we do, we got to have the blob. Well, we're having a blob catastrophe at this moment. So we are talking to Texoma Youth Camp to see what they're going to do about it. Apparently they had some major issues with holes and things. I mean, it sits out year-round and gets destroyed over the course of a few years. So we're looking at having to either rent or get a blob if they're not going to have it. So if anybody has any experience with inflatables, knows anybody with inflatables, or wants to just have a gracious gift of an inflatable blob to the camp, talk to Brian because he knows all the details about it, right? All right.
Yeah.
So, there ain't no problem. Punt. Your turn. Anyway, that's it for that's all the announcements for. Did I miss anything else? Okay.
Okay, what time on that the Thursday night? Let's see. 8 to 9:30. Do not get there at 7:58 and then complain you don't have a seat. Get there in time. Huh? So, do what? Yeah, it's outside. And, let's get a good seat. Get there a little bit early. That's a lot of fun. That is a lot of fun. Now, one other thing. Chris, you were saying how young people, high schoolers, have a rough time. You didn't remember it being that tough, you know, when you were there. We got to remember what we gave the rough time to our parents. Now they're getting it themselves. That's the real big difference. And okay. Anything else you want to say? Anything you want to say? Okay. Anything you want to say, Terry? Anything you want to say, Laura? All right. Pat? Yeah. All right. Any questions about everything? Okay, we're going to take a special offering. It'll be for the youth camp. Now, we're behind $1,200. And I want to remind you, most of us aren't familiar. We're familiar with the phrase, maybe not the reality, of priming the pump. And you have water, you leave water. You don't just walk off and not leave them water to prime the pump. The next person that comes along and needs a drink out of the pump. So we need to prime the pump for 2013. So it's not just the $1,200 for this month, but it's also getting ready for next month. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for a special offering for the youth of our church and the youth outreach. And people, I just can't tell you how wonderful it is. These are kids that some don't even go to any church, right? Some go to no church. And many do not clear on the gospel. They're telling their parents about the gospel. It's just absolutely wonderful things. No, we're not seeing it in here. We're not seeing it on Sunday or Wednesday night. A lot of you don't see much on Wednesday night here, but I am sorry. I'm sorry I said that. But there's just a lot going on spiritually with the youth and outreach of the youth. So let's prepare ourselves for the offering for our youth camp. Father, in time, if Jesus Christ does not call us home, a lot of us will be gone, face to face with our Savior. We pass the gauntlet to the young people. But Heavenly Father, we must give them something in that baton that we're passing them. The truth of the gospel, truth of spirituality, truth of spiritual love, truth of the importance of the Word of God. We consider it a great privilege that you've given to us to have this opportunity to reach the young people. So, Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will use it for the spreading of the gospel to the young people on Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, how Christ came and died for them. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're studying in 1 Corinthians on our 9:15 study, the importance in chapter 1. Paul dealt primarily with the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of man, what you and I know as Bible doctrine, biblical truth. Chapter 2, he concentrated on the Holy Spirit, importance of the Holy Spirit in learning of the truth and growing to maturity. In chapter 3, he's dealing with the local assembly, the local church, how important the local church is, how important it is to have the right pastor teacher, their teaching. He is not to be worshipped. He is not any of the things they were used to in their heathenistic temples, but that he is there as a servant of the mysteries of God. He is there to study and teach the Word. And the assembly, therefore, becomes the battleground. If Satan can distract an assembly on the wrong issue, cause schisms in the assembly, any of these kinds of things, he gets to intrude on the purpose of the assembly of teaching and training the people in the Word of God. Very thankful for our assembly. Very thankful for those of you that are interested in understanding the Word of God. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly, for the opportunities that we have, Father, to come to worship you in spirit and truth, in the Word of God, to fellowship with one another, to be part of the outreach that you've given to us with our young people, missionaries. Father, we just pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will use these offerings, Father, to allow this assembly to continue to distribute the Word of God to unbelievers and believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Every now and then I like to recommend a book, and I have such a book now that it just, those of you that are looking for something really important and interesting to read for today, and the name of the book is Psycho Heresy, and it is written by Martin and Debre Bogan, The Psychological Seduction of Christianity. And it deals with how most of the churches in America today do not think the Bible is adequate enough. We have to go outside the Bible to find other things to help ourselves with the problems. Just going through the table of content, the first chapter, the Psychological Seduction of Christianity, Chapter 5, The History of Psychotherapy, Chapter 8, A Self-Centered Gospel of Psychology, and just goes through a tremendous number of powerfully important things that are happening to the churches in America today. Okay, let's prepare ourselves now for the study of the Word of God. This requires the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. So let's spend a moment testing yourself to see if you're trusting the Spirit to open your eyes to the truth of Scripture. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the church, the body of Christ, is under severe trouble in the world today. So many areas of the world are dark. This has prompted many false gospels. There's so little truth that is being taught. So, Father, it is our purpose that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things You'd have us to see in such solid food chapter as Romans chapter 5. Father, we pray that He will open our eyes to the things You'd have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. One of the most difficult areas is the gospel, the simple gospel. What does one have to do to be saved? What does one have to do to go to heaven? And there are just so many different teachings on it, different twists. Galatians chapter 5, chapter 1 says they distort the gospel. They distort it. They tweak it. They don't geek it away. They don't go to something entirely different. They tweak it a little bit. Change it a little bit. Add a little bit. And this is so prominent in the United States. And Romans chapter 5 is a difficult chapter. It's where we learn to think. Why the gospel at all? Do we need the gospel because we sin personally? Things like this become the big issue of people thinking their way through this. If we can get people to stop sinning as well as believe in Christ, the Lordship gospel, if we can do this, we can do that. Romans chapter 5 is not something you're going to sit down with the kids, with somebody at work, and work them through it. It's for you to be able to think your way through, answer their questions. Now, simply stated, Romans chapter 5, where we are right now in our study, is about relationship. Relationship with Adam and relationship with Christ. And if we can correctly understand what is going on with this relationship, we'll understand what the true gospel is and why the true gospel. And the first thing that we've learned is we deserve death from our relationship with Adam. With Adam, we are born. We are born sinners. We don't become sinners, we're born sinners. It's not a matter of the sins that we might commit in life. We commit those sins because we're born sinners. It's that simple. But you'd be amazed how many preachers, evangelists, and people want to change people's lives to be part of salvation. There's nothing we can do about it. This is our relationship with Adam. We must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the great issue is, how? How did we have a relationship with Adam? Physical birth. It's very simple. Physical birth. How do we have a relationship with Christ? By faith. And faith alone in Jesus Christ. And people, this is where so many people get mixed up. They want to put in another verb. It's difficult for people to say, just believe in Jesus Christ. Accept Him, invite Him into your heart, make Him Lord, some active verb. It's a simple passive verb. Believe in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. The Bible does not say, invite Him into your heart. The Bible does not say, make Him Lord. The Bible does not say, be a moral person. The Bible does not say, go to church to be saved. It's very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. By faith, we come into union with Christ. This takes care of the death problem. When we're born in Adam, physical birth, we're born sinners, we're born spiritually dead. We have to be made alive. And this life comes in being in relationship with Christ. And the only way of being in relationship with Christ again is by faith. Not because you go to some church. Not because you read the Bible. Not because you try real hard not to sin real bad. This has nothing to do with those things. It's by faith we are in relationship with Jesus Christ. And He offers us life. Eternal life is the precious gift of Romans chapter 5. So this is the whole issue of what we're looking at. We do not deserve the grace from God. This is called grace. We do not deserve the grace from God. From the holiness of God, we receive the imputation of Adam's original sin, being born of Adam, resulting in death. From the love of God, we receive the grace gift of God coming through Christ, and that is eternal life. So let's start off this morning with a few points, just to get our mind what's going on in our text. Point one. Let's define grace. By the way, we're in verse 15. Let's read it. Get us oriented. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if the transgression of the one, Adam, the many died, much more did the grace, okay, there's the word grace first time, God of a God, and the gift, that's the second time gift has been mentioned, by the grace, second time grace is mentioned, of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. And we have the word many twice. We're going to have to look at what that's about. But let's just start off point one, a very brief definition of grace. What is grace? Grace is all that God is free to do for you on the basis of the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Grace is all that God is free to do for us on the basis of the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We do not earn it, deserve it. God is free to do it now on the basis of the work of Christ. Now, people, let's stop here. You're talking to somebody. You have to know in your back of your mind all that's going on. What's going on with that definition? Because what's going on is very simple. It's Satan. Here's God in His relationship with Adam. That's man. He has a wonderful relationship, unbroken. In the garden, here's Satan, and he is jealous of this relationship. So he comes into the garden, he breaks that relationship with sin. So man now is in sin, and man now is dead, spiritually dead. And Satan says, see God, there's nothing you can do now. You are holy, and there's nothing that you can do about it. If you try to touch them, you become polluted yourself. But what he tells man, oh, now you've got to work. He tells man, now you've got to work for it. This keeps man busy, and in his mind, it causes God to be incapable to do anything about it. Okay, what God said was, there's something else. By the way, now the relationship is unbroken. Satan and mankind. And that's where Romans 5 is dealing. Why are we separated from God? Not because of any personal sin. That's why sin's not the issue. It's not the issue in salvation. It is not the issue at the great white throne judgment. We are born sinners. And so Satan says now, they're in my kingdom, and there's nothing you can do about it, God. So what God does, he comes through under grace, offering his son on the cross, comes through with grace, and it is by that grace that God can now save mankind. There are two things that Satan doesn't understand and he hates. And one is grace, properly understood, and spiritual love. Not just love, but spiritual love from God, from the Holy Spirit, from a new spiritual creature. He cannot understand or he hates both of those. But this is the whole story in simplicity. This is why God, only thing that God can do for us is by grace. And it's based upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, point two. I'm trying to make this simple. The only thing compatible with grace is faith. Not feeling sorry. Not repenting. Not asking God to forgive you. The only thing compatible with grace is faith. Not confession. Not commitment. Not a verb inviting Jesus into your heart. It's faith, and only faith is compatible with grace. You're trying to explain that to someone. You're not going to go through all that we're studying in Romans 5, but you can make it very clear. Why faith? Why is it by faith and faith alone? Because faith is the only thing that's compatible with the grace of God. And the grace of God is all that God is free to do with us, to us, and give to us because of the work of Christ on the cross. It's not based on anything we do. Is there a place for repentance? You bet. Is there a place for confession? You bet. But there's nothing that's accomplished by those from God's standpoint. We repent. That is, I repent that I'm a sinner, change my mind about it. Now I want to be a Christian. I want to be of God. Now comes the great issue. What are you going to do? Are you going to go religion? Or are you going to go simple grace through faith? What are you going to do? Now comes the great issue. So, point two, the only thing compatible with grace is faith. Not repentance, confession, commitment, or some active verb. It is faith and faith alone that is compatible with grace. Many people love to talk about grace, sing about grace, amazing grace, grace greater than all our sins, but turn right around and say you can lose your salvation. Oh, wait a minute. How can that be? If it's by grace, how can I do something to lose it? You can do something to lose your salvation. As if you had something to do with gaining your salvation. You have to keep your salvation. Why are these things wrong? Because they don't understand the fundamental issue. The fundamental issue is not sin. The fundamental issue is relationship. Relationship with Adam, relationship with Christ. It's that simple. It really is that simple. The same mistake is made by those who have a lordship salvation, where you make him Lord. Or those who say you invite him into your heart. Some active verb, something you and I do. You know, it's so difficult for people to say, just believe him. Just trust him. I don't want to be critical. And that's not my purpose. My purpose is to make a point here. We watched an old Billy Graham crusade thing last night. I'm not going to talk about what he talked about in it and all that. But do you know not once did he say just believe in Jesus Christ? Accept, invite, all these other things, but not simply believe. Yet you go to this book and it's all through there. Just believe. Yeah. Why didn't it? It did. Why didn't he just crush him? Because of the love of God. because of the love of God. Why did my parent get rid of me when I really was at my worst end? See? It's the love of God. It's the love of God. That's why I tell you people, don't judge Satan. Don't fight him. Ephesians chapter 6 says, stand still. That's between God and Satan. That's not between Satan and me. It's not between how I deal with Satan. That's between God and Satan. Something between them. God created Satan as the epitome of his creation. He was the finest of the creation of God. And Satan rebelled. What goes on between them is between them. So I just leave that alone. Okay. So we just want to stay with the verb that's in the Bible. Believe on Jesus Christ. Point three. The only obedience that God is looking for is faith. We're real big on obedience in churches today. The only obedience is faith. But what about not sinning? How do you not sin where it's acceptable to God? Do you just make a decision? I'm not going to steal anymore. Unbelievers make that decision. And we're happy for it. I'm very happy that neither of my two neighbors are kleptomaniacs. Come through my backyard or my house and steal. That's a wonderful thing. Does it save? Does it do anything spiritual? Not one bit. Not one bit. It's faith and faith alone. That is the great issue before God in dealing with salvation. That's the obedience. So, how do we not want to steal? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So our decision is not to steal. If you make that decision, you're living by law. I hope I can make this clear. If I'm going to make a decision, I will not steal, you're living by law. The law says not to steal. If you make a decision, I will walk and live by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you and you will not steal. Spiritual love fulfills the whole law. But am I making clear the difference here? You can live by law, have a long list of things you will not do and in your mind, and many unbelievers do that. Many religious believers do that. They make these decisions. That's not honoring to God. You make one simple decision. I'm going to live by the Holy Spirit. By His power. That's our obedience. And point four. Grace here defined in Romans 5:15 as a free gift. Grace is defined in Romans 5:15 as a free gift or a gracious gift. But if you do not understand grace, you'll miss it. And that's why I like free gift even over gracious gift. Many people don't understand grace. Free gift. And free means free. That's why I told you. To me, the first thing any child should ever learn about Jesus Christ, I got a present on Christmas morning because Jesus Christ was born. That communicates. That zips right through their head. That's related to something they enjoy. That's related to a day of the year they look forward to. That's the first thing they ought to learn. Why am I getting all these gifts? Oh, Santa Claus gave them to you. How dare you say that? How dare you say Santa Claus gave it? You're getting this free gift because Jesus Christ was born. You're not making any believe on Him, be good for Him, go to church for Him. You're just saying you're getting this free gift because He was born. And isn't that true for us? Isn't that why we give that gift? Because Jesus Christ was born? You're telling them the truth? You're not cramming anything down their throat? You're being introduced to Christ. I got something free because Jesus was born. And as they get a little older, well, tell me more about this Jesus. Why am I getting this because He was born? This may be year two or three. Why am I getting this because He was born? It just keeps growing. The gospel begins to grow on them. So, the ideal in verse 15 of Romans 5, it's a free gift. It means exactly that. It's free. Okay, let's look at verse 15 now. Much more did the grace of God. Now, we studied the first part. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, that's Adam, the many died, much more did the grace of God. By the way, we do not treat each other in grace. I want to make that clear. Don't ever think you treat somebody in grace. I'll grace you out. How dare you? You're not God. How do we deal with one another? Spiritual love. I'll love you as Christ loved me. That's how we'll deal with this. Not I'll grace you out. See, that even gives you a sense of arrogance. Since I'm doing something, I'll grace you out. Don't do me any favors. Treat me in the love or with Christ love me. That I want. That I not only accept, I want it. I need it. I need you to treat me with that love. So just to make sure we get that straight. We are to love one another in spiritual love. And people, let me remind you, nothing will make greater demands on your life than to love as Christ loves. It cost him the cross. Just remember that. Much more did the grace of God and the gift. Now we come to a very important change of words. First time we had the word in regard to the free gift. And the free gift, we have the word, and I'm putting this on the board, just not to impress, just to show you the difference in the two words. This was transliterating charisma. Charisma. This is a grace gift. This was a grace gift, a free gift. Now, this time we have a different word. We have the word doria. Now, whether or not you know Greek or not, you know those are not the same words. I know that much. I don't know what they mean, but I can see C is different from D, and so forth. So, what does doria mean? Okay, let's take this up in just 3 points. See if we can kind of help you out in just 3 simple points. Not 10, but 3. All right, 1, charisma, translated gift, is used to emphasize the gift itself. It emphasizes the gift itself. You use the word charisma. While doria, also translated gift, is used to emphasize the giving of the gift. The giving of the gift without there being a verb. The giving of the gift. So, charisma, the gift is emphasized, the gift itself. Doria, the giving of the gift is emphasized. Point 2. I'm sorry? Yes. Yeah. Point 2. This can be seen by the root of each of these words. Charisma comes from the root charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, charis, which means grace, emphasizing the gift as a grace gift. The gift is free. The gift is a gracious gift. While the doria comes from the root didomi, D-I-D-O-M-I, didomi, which means to give. To give. And is used to emphasize the giving of the gift. Now, to help you, if you have the New American Standard and the King James tries to relay that there is a difference in the two words. Free gift, first word, and then simply gift. While the NIV doesn't translate either one, just translate them both simply gift. So let's forget the NIV here. But so I want you to pick up the NASB and the King James trying to tell me something here by just putting the word free gift with the first time they do it and then just gift the second time. Point 3. Let's translate these, noting the distinction. This will help Martha's question. But not as that transgression is also the free gift, emphasizing the gift, the free gift. For if or since by that transgression of the one, Adam, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the giving of the gift, is the best way I know how to translate it. The giving of the gift. That way you get the gift in there with the verbal idea that emphasized with the word Doria. To show that we're on the right track here, note what follows this. Note the following now to be sure that we see that we're on the right track. The basis of the giving of the free gift. By the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gracious gift is given on the basis of the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we have two different words here of gift that help us even more understanding this whole package of salvation, this whole package of eternal life. So we have the free gift, gracious gift given to us, that's eternal life. And then it says, much more to the grace of God and the giving of that gift, emphasizing the giving of the gift that we have now. And how is it given? On the basis of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, through the many. People, there's nothing in here about us. There's nothing in here about cleaning up your life. There's nothing in here about stop sinning. There's nothing in there about doing this or doing that, joining this, joining that, inviting, making. It's all about the free gift. Okay, our passage looks like this then. Much more did the grace of God, and then we'll put it in quotes, the giving of the gift, in quotes, and I'm putting it all that way so that you'll kind of have the idea that the word doria, the word here, carries the emphasis of the giving of the gift. So we'll translate it that way. Much more did the grace of God and, quote, the giving of the gift, end quote, all of that to translate the simple word doria. By the grace, by the one man, and who is that one man? Jesus Christ. So now if you'll look in your text, but not as that transgression, so also is the free gift. Free gift is not given in the same way transgression is. The gracious gift, for if or since, it's first class condition, it's reality, for since by that transgression of the one man, Adam, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the giving of the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. People, grace permeates the gospel. And you cannot tell somebody you've got to do this and this and this, but by the way, it's grace. No, it isn't. If I work for it, I earn it. I don't care how humble you try to do, be, roll your eyes downward, roll your shoulders over, oh shucks, I just changed my life, and I just invited Jesus into my heart. I didn't do any. Yes, you did. I accepted the grace gift of God by faith alone. That's all that I did, just believed in Jesus Christ and received the grace gift of God freely given to me, eternal life. Okay? Principle. When we were related to the transgression of Adam, remember it's about relationship, when we were related to the transgression of Adam, God did the most for us. This is the much more in our passage. And now that we are related to Jesus Christ, God does much more for us. Let me repeat that. When we were related to the transgression of Adam, God did the most for us. Sent His Son to die on a cross. Now that we are related to Jesus Christ, by faith, God will do us. That's the much more in this passage. It is so important that we understand what is being said here in Romans 5. So many people are so wrong on the gospel. And one of the reasons is failure to understand Romans 5. There's a heretic running around the country, Bob Larson, challenged the salvation of Whitney Houston. Now people, I don't know if Whitney Houston is in heaven or not. Only God knows. But the reason that he said she is not is because of her life. And he went through her life. Drugs, sex, alcohol, all this stuff. And people, he's wrong. Now, whether or not she's in heaven or not, I don't know. But the basis of whether or not she is there has nothing to do with her life. Nothing whatsoever. It has to do with one decision that she may or may not have made in that life. I personally believe she did. I pray she did. To believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. So people, just be careful. With this whole gospel issue. It has nothing to do with one's life. It has to do with relationship. Not sin. Not sin. Relationship. Not sin. Relationship. Are you related to Jesus Christ? How could I be related to Christ? By faith in Him. I'm related to Christ, I go to church. No, that doesn't make you related to Christ. I'm related to Him, I own a Bible. That doesn't make you related to Christ. How are we related to Christ? By faith alone in Christ alone. You're born of Him then. You're born again. You're born from above. That's how you're in relationship with Christ. So the gospel is about a relationship issue. This is what's so important. It's not all these other issues, not how you live, but put it in simple terms, it's who you know. Do you know Him? You know that old idea, well, it's who you know. Well, I knew somebody special, I got a good seat. No, it's not who, it's who you know. Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? That's how you get eternal life. That's how you get the gracious gift. That's how you get the free gift, freely given. One of the most important points of Romans 5 is the difference between Adam and Christ. If you don't understand that, you're going to be fouled up on the gospel. You're going to think you can lose it. You're going to think these things. We must get in our heads clearly, Adam, Christ. These are crucial in correctly understanding the gospel. You must realize that we are related to Adam by physical birth. Therefore, we're born under condemnation, born under the transgression. This has nothing to do with how you live. You're born a sinner. You're born an enemy of God. You're born that way, not because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. Now, we're related to Christ by the second birth. First birth, Adam. Second birth, Christ. What's this second birth stuff? I don't understand how all this works. Just understand one thing. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you're born from above. In John 3:16, it's translated born again. It should be born from above. 1 Peter, it's translated born again. And that's correct translation. Two different Greek words. So, what God has done, He's taken an analogy that we can grasp. We understand being born physically. So, that's what happens when we become believers in Christ. We're born spiritually. Now the great issue, we're studying this in 1 Corinthians, as we learn from our first birth, now you've got to grow. To grow, you've got to take in milk. You've got to take in milk. Then you start growing. Then you go from milk to Gerbers, whatever it is. Gerbers, mashed up little mushy food. And then you start gritting your hands into potatoes, mashed potatoes, and then the french fries, and then the green peas, and all over your face. You start a little more solid food, and then a little bit more. You start to grow. Well, people, this is what happens spiritually, or should happen. You start growing spiritually. You start getting from the milk to solid food, solid teaching. Romans chapter 5. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it takes time. Yeah, you got to think your way through it. It's solid. It's solid food. You want to be ready to where you can just put your teeth into a big, juicy T-bone steak from Texas. That's what you want. Well, what we want to do is put our teeth into Romans chapter 5 so we'll understand the gospel. Understand why all these other things are not true. You're not going to take anybody through all of this, and I know that. But if it can help you, sit down and explain to a child, to a teenager, to an adult, why that, why not that, and why not this, and why not that. Just simply bring it out to them. Because you understand what's going on in our study. That's what all of this is about. So, you know, we're related to the first Adam by physical birth. We're related to the last Adam by spiritual birth. And this is the great issue. It has nothing to do with how you live. Now, all that will be important in the Christian life. How you live as an unbeliever, that's important. Nobody wants to be married or live next door to a kleptomaniac. Nobody wants to be live next door to somebody that does a lot of bad things. We don't want to do that. It's a wonderful thing in society. But spiritually, before God, doesn't make any difference. Let's note some summary points. One, we are under condemnation. We are under condemnation not because of any personal sin. This we communicate to people. Look, sin isn't the issue here. The reason you sin is because you're born under condemnation, born under Adam. So we are under condemnation not because of any personal sin. Two, we are born under condemnation due to relationship with Adam. We're born under condemnation because of relationship with Adam. Three, it is not a matter of how good you may be in your life or how bad you may be in your life. You're still under condemnation. It does not matter how good you may have been in your life, how bad you may have been in your life. You're still under condemnation. People, you've got to just realize all my good deeds are just filthy rags before God. All my good deeds are minstrel claws before God. That's what they are. That doesn't get us anywhere with God. It does with our neighbors. It does in society. And that's why people want to relate that to the spiritual realm. But before God, it doesn't. Or, by our second birth, we are in relationship with Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ, we're born again, born from above. You're saved. You are imputed perfect righteousness. Not because of the moral way you live. Just to continue the study on Whitney Houston. If she was imputed righteousness when she was 12 years old in the church she grew up in, and while she was out running around with her alcohol and her drugs, she is imputed righteousness, people. And that's difficult for people to understand. That's difficult for people to grasp. But if you'd understand it from the standpoint of relationship, not life. Why am I under condemnation? Born of Adam. Why am I in righteousness of God? Born of Christ. Has nothing to do with your life that you're under condemnation. Has nothing to do with your life that you are imputed righteousness. Makes it simple. I'm hoping I'm making this as simple as Romans 5 is. This is how easy it is to grasp. It doesn't matter how we live because it's a matter of relationship. And it's so difficult for people to get away from that you're not living this way. How can she be a Christian and do all the things that she did? And then people want, well, at the very end she made this big announcement and all. I don't care whether she did or didn't. All I care about is, at one point, did she believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? I don't care her age. Did she believe in Jesus Christ? And if she was, she is now born of Christ. She's related to Christ. And she has imputed righteousness and eternal life. It's that simple. And I hope this is simple for you. You're not under condemnation because of any personal sins. You're not righteous because you live a good life. Point four again. You're not under condemnation because of any personal sin or sins. You're not righteous because you live a good life, because you're moral. Five, how are you saved? How does one get to heaven? Being related to Jesus Christ is a good answer. Being related to Jesus Christ is how you're saved. Being related to Jesus Christ is how you get to heaven. How you get the eternal life. Then that begs the question, how can you be related to Jesus Christ in God's eyes? By faith alone in Christ. By faith alone in Christ. And I don't think we'll get to it this morning, so let me just do it right now. I didn't see faith there. where's he pulling in this faith thing now all of a sudden? I got it in a proper state of growth, but I just feel compelled to tell you now. How am I related to Christ? I don't say, it doesn't say faith in verse 15, 14, 13. No, it doesn't. But you know what? A lot of us are like students. We forget what we learned the first 2 weeks of school. The first 2 weeks of that semester laid the foundation. Would you look back at chapter 5, verse 1? The very beginning of all of this, therefore, having been justified by faith. There it is. There's the foundation. Don't forget the first week. Don't forget the first chapter, kids. It's important. It's simple, but boy, it lays the foundation for the whole rest of the semester. Look at verse 2. Through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace. How did I receive that grace? By faith? Where'd you get that? Where'd you get the only thing compatible with grace is faith? Chapter 5, verse 2. It's all right here, people. It's a simple chapter. It's difficult. It's meat. It's solid food. But if we put it together correctly, it's all here. For us to easily understand why it's faith in Christ alone. Nothing else. So point 5 points out how are you saved? How do you get to heaven? How do you have eternal life? Being related to Jesus Christ has nothing to do with life. Being related to Christ, how am I related to Christ in God's eyes? By faith alone in Christ. How are you under condemnation? Relationship with Adam. Why do you need salvation? Relationship with Adam. Blame it all on him. See? But boy, blame it all on Christ, that we have eternal life. And we have life forever with Him. How did you come into relationship with Adam? Born into the human race. How did you come in relationship with Christ? Born into Christ. How did you do that? Faith alone in Christ. Doesn't matter if you're a really good person. People, this is not a message to go out and live like hell. This is not that message. That is not... This is not that kind of message. But it has to be emphasized because of the overemphasis on sins by everybody else, especially in their understanding of the gospel. I want you to understand the simplicity of the gospel. How did you come into relationship with Christ? By faith alone in Christ. Doesn't matter whether you're a good person, you're still under condemnation. Doesn't matter if you're a bad person in relationship with Christ, you're still in relationship with Christ. You can't lose that. He's not going to be a parent. Oh, well, I don't know you. Get out of here. No. We're saved. We're in a relationship. We're born again. Born into His family. So this becomes the great issue. The most wonderful person on earth is still under condemnation until they believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. The worst person on earth, if they have believed in Christ, they're under righteousness. It has nothing to do with our life, people. That's what kind of God we have. That's the marvels of God. Well, we'll resume here next Sunday morning and continue on in this study of Romans chapter 5. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow, what an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. What an awesome God. We're so occupied with ourselves, we want to make ourselves the issue. We want to be a part of our salvation. We want to even be a part of our condemnation. I'm condemned because I did something really bad. I'm saved because I did something really good. We just want to be a part of all of this. It's a free gift. It's a gracious gift. It's not like our condemnation. We inherited that. This is free. Freely given. This grace gift of eternal life because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Father, we're so compelled by the love of Christ that it is our goal to live in His love. To love others as He loved us. Father, pray You'll take now these things that we've seen, simplifying this solid food to where we can relate to others. The whole issue very simply understanding these things, Father. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake and his glory. Amen.